Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Full Armor Radio. I am your host, Brandon Lockridge. The website is fullarmorradio.org. Again, that's fullarmorradio.org. And the email address is fullarmorradio@icloud.com. All right, well, we are finally going to be getting to an episode that I've been wanting to do for quite some time. I believe I mentioned it all the way back in February. And the time has finally come, and we are here to talk about the IFB. Today's episode is about the IFB. For those of you who are not familiar with that acronym, the IFB stands for Independent Fundamental Baptist. The Independent Fundamental Baptist is a movement of typically General Baptists, and that of course is a reference back to the 16th and 17th century General Baptists who were more Arminian in their soteriology as opposed to the particular Baptists who were Calvinistic in their soteriology. But the IFB is a movement of Baptists or General Baptists that are quite a bit more on the legalistic side of the spectrum, and we'll talk a bit about that today and what that looks like. Those of you who are familiar with the IFB movement, of course, you will know that they are no friends of the Calvinists. Not fun at all. And so we're gonna be moving forward to talk about this movement. And in order to help me navigate this conversation, I have invited a guest on the program. I've mentioned him before in previous episodes. And this is a good friend of mine who has experience in the IFB. What I can say about him is that, in the words of Rob Bass, he's not internationally known, but he has been known to rock the microphone. And so I am excited to introduce to you my good friend, Mike Lewis. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brandon. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, indeed, of course. Well, Mike, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and where you have introduced yourself, where you've come from, and you know your involvement, your past with the IFB, and where you are now today.
Sure. So, without going too deep, my first experience in church ever was when I was about 13 years old. My sister was invited by, they have these ministries called bus ministries where people go into the neighborhood through the IFB church and they invite people to church. They try to see how many buses they can pack. They sing songs about Jesus. They throw candy out. And my sister got invited to go to church by one of these bus ministry leaders. She started going to church and invited my stepmother and then my father, of course, followed suit. And then I had no choice at 13 years old against my will to go to church for the very first time. Mm. but prior to that, you know, coming from a family that was, I'm a child of divorce and, kind of just a family with your typical, worldly type issues in terms of, you know, the divorce and just parents being heavily involved with alcohol and the party scene and even other stuff. And so, interestingly enough, at this stage of life in the mid-90s, I think my dad was ready for a change. And so this particular invite from the local church, the IFB church, seemed to be extra appealing to him. And when we all went as a family. It was actually the churches in Wildomar, California. We're from California. And so it was in a revival tent type setup. And my dad and I actually have always been into the 1950s era, just in general, with, you know, old school fashion and ideals. And so, as you know, Brandon, the IFB is very good at old fashioned ideals, right? So,
hey, man.
Hey, man. So we go to this church. It's a tent out in a dirt field. It's a revival tent with a horse trough baptistry. Mm. And there begins what ended up being roughly a 4-year journey with the IFB, going real deep within that movement.
Mm. Wow. And so as that progressed, what did you end up doing? I mean, we've talked before, I think you got into some schooling and stuff through the IFB. Is that correct?
That's correct. So the first time I heard that Jesus had died for our sins was through this church. Hmm. And they did your typical altar call in the youth group. And I went forward and went through the Romans Road and said the sinner's prayer. And right. From there, it was, you know, it's interesting though, within this movement, it's the gospel is, they teach that it's by grace that you're saved, but it's viewed. And as we get deeper into the discussion, we can touch on this a little more, but it's viewed as an entry point. Hmm. So yes, you're saved by grace, but then it's the Jesus plus the Jesus plus method, right? So sure. You're saved by grace, but now there's work to be done, right?
Of course. Yeah.
In order to be in good standing and to sort of, it's very interesting because they don't teach that you can lose your salvation, but you might come close, right? And you could if you walk away altogether. So it's that kind of thinking. But to the point of the question, yes, it started there. I was not going to school very often. I hated school growing up. And so my dad offered, again, I'm two separate homes here. I was living with my mom, and he said, you know, if you come live with me, I'll put you through the Baptist Academy and you'll graduate and you'll get, and I knew enough then to know that, okay, I need to do that. I need to go to school. I need to finish. And my relationship with my mom wasn't going to get that done. I knew myself. I knew I just would ditch school. So I moved with my dad, went to the church school. My graduating class was six students.
Oh, wow.
So talk about podunk, right? And this is Wildomar, California. So, so you can imagine, right? Revival tent, double wide classroom. And that's where it was. And so from there though, what's interesting is that, this particular church that I went to, and most of the IFB churches, would push this college called Hiles Anderson College.
Oh yeah.
And it was located in Crown Point, Indiana. Still is. I don't know how it's still open, but it is. And so the church school gave me a letter of recommendation to this college. Mm-hmm. And I was rewarded for my good behavior and good grades through the Baptist Academy, a full ride for 1 year, tuition, room, and board.
Wow.
Which sounded great because this was the college, right? If you didn't go to this college, there was one other one, and that was kind of fluffy, right? If you were serious about your faith and you were serious about being a man of God,
yeah,
you needed to go to Hiles Anderson. Otherwise, you know, kind of shaky, right?
So right.
So to me, it's very appealing. I'm 17 years old, very impressionable, very involved in the youth group. Going to church at this time, probably 6 days a week. There's pretty much not really a day that I wasn't on the property for some reason.
And you didn't smoke, you didn't chew, you didn't go with girls that do, right?
Absolutely not. I wanted to, but I also wanted to go to heaven. So
right. I understand. Well, now
it's interesting though. So sorry to interrupt you.
No, but, no, go ahead.
Just
please.
To give you an idea of the atmosphere. So going to this Baptist Academy, I had actually been kicked out twice.
Wow.
During my, I know, and I still got recommended for Hiles Anderson. I don't know how that happened.
Was it because did you play loud music and dance or what?
Funny enough, that one of the times I got kicked out was because it became known that I had actually went to a prom.
Ooh.
With a public school prom.
Ouch. Yeah.
And I literally got kicked out for that. So that was one time. Mm. The next time I got kicked out was because I kissed a girl on the cheek.
Mm. Big no-no. Yeah.
And that's a big no-no. So I had actually been kicked out. Thankfully for me, they had grace and recommended me to this quote unquote Bible college. And so that just gives a picture of the kind of environment that I experienced at that age.
Right. Right. And so you lasted how long at this college? At Hiles Anderson.
At Hiles Anderson. So what's really interesting is I was just gung-ho, on fire, doing ministry, all these things that you're supposed to do.
Soul winning.
Soul winning.
Yeah.
I'm going to church Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night soul winning, Friday night youth group, and Saturday door knock and soul winning, right? That was the schedule.
Wow.
And then somewhere in there, there'd probably be a potluck and something else, right?
Right, right.
So I'm sold out into the ministry, into the movement. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a preacher man. I'm going to be a man of God, all the things that a good IFB boy aspires to be. Mm. And I get to Hiles Anderson College, and probably within maybe 3 weeks' time, I realized what a farce it was. So it's interesting because I think it's just the grace of God that I was able to see through it that quickly.
Mm.
But interestingly enough, I go from a squeaky clean high school boy, never smoked, never drank, never did any of that stuff. And I immediately go into this place of darkness and just, I'm basically, and so I get drunk for the first time. I start smoking weed for the first time. I'm getting this from outside sources at this job that I took. And that probably happened a couple months in, but a couple weeks in, I knew that it was just, they had haircut checks. So we would go into chapel. It was a daily chapel, mandatory. Picture just your typical cultish setting where everyone's got a long sleeved dress shirt and a tie and slacks or a suit. Mm-hmm. If you're really spiritual, you'll have a suit and it'll be double breasted, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
if you're a good Baptist, and then the ladies have theirs. And so guys enter in the chapel on one side of the building, ladies enter in on the other. Now there's a few thousand kids going to the school, right? So it's not small.
Right.
But they've got a guy doing haircut checks to make sure that your sideburns are no longer than the middle of your ear and that there's no hair touching your collar. And if that were to be the case, you would be immediately ejected, not allowed to come into chapel until you went and got a haircut.
My goodness.
So that was, you know, you do that for a couple of weeks and you start realizing, wow, I don't know if I can live up to this standard, right?
Right.
And so that was my experience really early on. But the interesting part is now I'm kind of stuck there because to go home is to be a failure and a rebel and a black sheep, right?
Sure.
So I can't do that, but I do have this free ride. And so I learn quickly. I really have no interest in going to the classes because most of them were just a joke.
Right.
Some guy standing at a podium and ranting and raving and yelling about his opinions about everything from groceries to who knows what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with anything but a man's a prideful opinion about life in general. So it was really very interesting and quite the contrast to what I was expecting from the brochure and everything else that I had heard about. So
to go home, you would be like a failure, right? So you couldn't do that. So you had to hang, right?
Had to hang. So I learned how to fly under the radar pretty well.
Wow.
I learned how to fake it, right? Now we're talking, you can't leave this campus or come back after a certain time without signing in and out. And there's security guard and there's a desk gal and they're watching. You can't go hang out with a girl unless there's a chaperone.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, right? There's all these just super stringent rules. I don't know how deep you want me to get, but I could tell some stories. But just to paint a picture of the setting of this college in a quick snapshot, it was basically like the Army. It was like boot camp in the name of Jesus, right? Because if you're going to be a serious preacher, man, you better have that character.
Sure.
So they would have a hall monitor or a dorm monitor come in the dorms. And if you weren't up at 6 a.m. with your bed made, dressed and ready to go for the day, you got demerits.
Wow.
And there was a couple different ways you could work these demerits off.
Okay. I was just going to say, what did this mean for you then?
Yes. So if you had a few demerits, okay, well, we can kind of, we'll let you off a little easier. You'll be down in the cellar writing the school's alma mater, some kind of mission statement over and over and over again for about an hour until you work off your demerits.
Okay.
Doing things like that. Now, if you had acquired or accumulated a considerable amount of demerits and it's a thing that you're struggling with. In my case, I got a job early on at Dunkin' Donuts distribution. And so I wasn't getting home until 1 a.m. typically.
Wow.
Okay. So I'd go into the warehouse, work hard, get into the dorms around 1 a.m. And so oftentimes it was a struggle for me to get up at that time. And so I had a real problem, right? Well, you know, which is, I'm okay with looking back. But so in my case, a real hard case, right? He's got a problem. He's not obeying. So in my case, they had, if you can imagine, probably 4 or 5 tree stumps set up on one side, probably about 2.5 feet tall, enough where you'd have to really kick your knee high to step on top of it. So a row of 5 of those stumps and a pile of logs and firewood that was probably, I'd say about almost 9 feet tall and, you know, probably a few yards wide, nice huge pile of wood.
Right.
And then on the other side of that, another parallel 4 to 5 tree stumps that you'd have to step over. And so for the real hard cases, they'd have, you know, there'd usually be about 8 or 9 guys out there that just had a boatload of demerits to work off. And the way you'd work those hard demerits off is that you would step over the tree stumps, get as much firewood as you could gather, step back over the other parallel line of tree stumps until the 1 9-foot pile of firewood was moved to the other side of the tree stumps. And they'd have a guy sit out there with a megaphone out in the middle of this, you know, plantation field out in Indiana. And that's so that can kind of paint a picture of the setting there.
So truly, I mean, the boot camp comparison is really a wonderful comparison. I mean, it seems
it's
like that's
accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no exaggeration. It was. If you could take a cult and a boot camp and just smash them together, that's Hiles Anderson.
So what finally drove you out of the school? Because if we fast forward a little bit, there's a point in which, I mean, because you didn't finish the school, right?
I didn't even start.
Okay.
I was, hey, there was meals and I had a place to stay and I actually flew under the radar, even though I began partying during that time. I got really good at flying under the radar and still managing to keep enough rules to stay there. And they actually ended up, some of my roommates knew that I was partying and stuff, and they actually turned me in at one point. Mm. They actually called my dad.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And basically they were informants, you know? So
yeah.
What's a guy to do?
You're a bad kid, man.
So I got shipped, and it's interesting because before all this, you know, my mom was not a believer until a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And she would reach out and she would say, "Mike, it's a cult. You're going to a cult." And I go, "No, Mom, you don't understand." And you know, your typical responses to right. that. Well, she just doesn't understand. She doesn't believe. And so about that time when I knew my number was up and I didn't want to go back to my dad's house, because who'd want to live under that kind of those kinds of rules and regulations, and then to be known and labeled as a godforsaken failure.
Sure.
I reached out to my mom and I said, "Hey, you're right, Mom. I think I'm in a cult." And she said, "You know what? Come stay with me." So that's what happened. I ended up getting kicked out, and I went and lived with my mom. And then just to kind of wrap up that experience with the college and with my walk in general in the IFB world, I still believed in God. I still believed in Christ, but I swore that I'd never go back to church again.
Right. Yeah. You were so, you become so jaded to the whole thing. Right. I mean,
right. And, you know, there's so much to talk about on this topic, but what the IFB, like any other cult, does such a great job is making you feel like it's the only way.
Right.
It's the only way. And so I knew that there were other churches, but I just figured, well, that was the right church.
Right.
And if I messed up there, then I probably should just not go to church. And I kind of made a deal with God in my heart. All right, Lord, I'm going to just go and sow my wild oats for a while. I figure I figured that I had earned that much.
Yeah.
From all the work that I had done.
Right.
Right. So my bank's doing pretty good with God. And, you know, I'm just going to go sow my wild oats, and he can kind of mm-hmm. take some withdrawals or whatever as needed, so I can stay in my good graces with him for a while until I kind of figure life out.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's
that
funny,
was my thinking
is this, it really does have, all the signs and seals of a cult when I'm just sitting here thinking across the board of all the other, you know, I the Catholic Church comes to mind when you're talking about, you know, kind of a works-based sort of religion. It's very legalistic. You're earning your keep. You're earning your way to heaven. You know, and it's our way or the highway. We are the only true church. And really, you can apply that to, you know, even, you know, the Mormon Church and stuff. I mean, it really does fit that bill, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what's interesting? We've talked about this before. What makes the IFB almost more dangerous mm-hmm. is that they do understand that salvation is by grace alone.
Yeah.
They believe that.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if they truly believe it down to the core, but that's what they teach.
Sure.
And so you get stuck in this, like, I know that that's the truth, but there's all these other... It almost makes it more difficult. At least if I was in a cult and I knew I had to kind of work my way up, I'd kind of at least kind of go through life with that bank mentality. Like, okay, I've put a lot of deposits in here.
Right.
Right. But when it makes it especially mind-boggling and confusing, I guess is the main word that I would use, is when you're being told that it's by grace, but then there's all these other things that you have to do to kind of stay in good standing. And then where that, and they stand on the Bible, which is interesting, right?
Right.
So it's not like another cult where it's like you got to go out and push these magazines or we're going to place the Book of Mormon on top of the Bible as the authority. No, they're standing on the Bible, but that's where you get into like this really bad teaching and doctrine.
Right. Well, because even then, and this can kind of roll us into you know, one of the things I want to talk about, you know, what are some of the few or a few of the most dangerous doctrines and teachings that you have seen come out of the IFB. But, you know, as a as an outsider looking in and kind of studying some of the IFB teachings a little bit, you know, when you mention about how they stand on the Bible, it does cause me to go to ask myself the question, what Bible are they standing on? And of course, this brings right. out this brings out the subject of the King James onlyism. I mean, your IFP churches, of course, are King James KJV onlyist churches, and in some of them, you know, I would say probably most of them, it seems, go to the point of saying that the King James really is God's new ordained scripture, essentially. The you know, some of them go all the way as far as saying it's got to be 1611. Some of them don't, but they do say that. You know, I've heard some of them say that if the Bible were to be translated into another language, they should use the King James Bible to translate into, you know, let's say German or French or something like that. I mean, that's so they're standing upon the Bible, but it's even cultic in the way that they stand upon the Bible, right?
Absolutely. I was watching a video the other day, and they were it, really what it comes down to is just it has to the biggest problem is that they're uneducated. And so what you get is this kind of cowboy mentality where, you know, you have the guy at the top, which is referred to, he's God's man.
Right. Right.
And they spend most of their time in the Old Testament, not surprisingly. And try to apply what was happening there to today. And so what you have is this authority that really,
they are the Moses model, essentially, right?
They're not to be trifled with. They're not to be disagreed with. They're not to be questioned. Mm. And so, most of these guys are severely uneducated, because what you have is you have a movement that's largely based on pride, and that shows with their dress standards and with all the other things that are on the outside. Nothing really addresses the inside. And so if you have any questions that are intellectual, or if you have doubts or anything that comes close to that, anything that might disagree with the opinion of the man of God, mm-hmm. well, then you're just not, you're of the devil, right? And it sounds silly, but that's really the mentality. And so you have these, I was watching this video the other day, and they asked this guy who was supposed to be, you know, an authoritarian on scripture and translation and all the rest. And they said, hey, you know, so if a guy, and he was a 1611 King James onlyist, mm-hmm. good old Baptist preacher. And they said, so if a guy in Russia wants to understand the Bible, he can't do so unless he has an English translator to translate what's written in the 1611 King James. And he says, yes, absolutely. You'll need to have that if you want to understand the Word of God.
You've got to have that. You've got to have that 1611.
Right. Because mm-hmm. yeah. in the mind of an IFB pastor or leader or anyone that's deeply involved, at least my experience with the IFB and what I've seen in most of the major churches, they believe that America is God's new chosen land, right. new chosen people, and that's where you get a lot of the mistakes that are made within the things that they push and present and teach.
Sure.
And so it's everything has to do with English speaking, red-blooded American male, all those old-fashioned ideals that come from the Wild West,
and sure.
in essence.
No, that's true. That's quite true. It's I've seen a lot of that same thing and doing the studying and stuff like that. So you mentioned or just a little bit ago that you know, they did teach the Bible. That was the first place you said in the IFB church that you heard the gospel. So obviously there was a positive that came out of that. I mean, are there any other positives from your experience that you could see that did come out of the IFB church for you?
There were. I mean, I think the damage was greater, but there were some positives, and I think it was despite them, right? That's God's grace, is despite us, he'll use things that go wrong for his glory. And so in that sense, yes, I mean, going to being that heavily involved, I mean, probably the greatest upside to all of it was that I was memorizing scripture constantly.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that was a requirement.
Right.
You know, we would have to memorize full chapters of, you know, Galatians and Ephesians. And it's interesting because I look back and I think, yeah, that they're, you know, all the things about obedience and all these things. And the way they were using it, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't because of they wanted us to understand God's word better. They wanted us to obey.
Right.
So
right.
So but despite all that, I was memorizing scripture. And so, and, you know, learning how to engage people, soul winning, knocking on doors, inviting people to church and actually taking them through the, what's known as the Romans Road. I don't know how often that term is used anymore, but.
You know, I'm sure that there's plenty of potentially current and most likely former IFB listeners, I'm sure, that'll catch this episode, who will probably know what you're talking about. So,
yeah, I figured. So, but, you know, going through those scriptures and knocking on doors and engaging people in conversation, those were definite advantages that I experienced and still take with me today in my career and in my current walk in terms of evangelizing and speaking with people. And so, unfortunately, you know, all their reasons and means and ends are way off base and usually have something to do with performance.
Right.
But despite all that, that was certainly a good thing because regardless, I got the word of God in my heart and mind.
Yeah.
And when I started to understand the gospel and the scripture and started studying it and receiving good teaching, of course it was good to have those passages and those things that I had memorized from the word already locked and loaded. So
yeah, that really is a testimony to the power of God to be able to, you know, use those the failures of men, you know, for our good and for his glory, right? I mean, that's it's not obviously a testimony to the good work that those men are doing, but really what God is doing. And so, you know, we went through a lot of the negatives, of course, of the IFB movement. We talked a lot about, you know, the legalism. Obviously we see that from your story, you know, the very cultish, you know, legalistic way that they perform and whatnot and how that movement, you know, sticks to some various doctrines that can be dangerous and as well as damaging. I'm wondering what are a few of what would you say are a few of the most dangerous doctrines or teachings that you saw coming out of the IFB? And I want to segue this. I want to segue your answer into why this is important for people to be aware of and what, you know, when we come full circle here, why are we trying to warn people about this? And what is the ultimate goal of pointing out the IFB movement? So what are some of the real, you would say, the most dangerous teachings that you see?
I think overall it is that the man of God is really kind of the man of God, as they say. So any pastor, leader, teacher within this movement is literally God's man, and what he says goes.
Right. So it's popish in a way, almost.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the danger in that is obvious, as we know.
Yeah.
is that you end up being a man pleaser. You end up going through the motions and trying to sort of not only earn favor with man, in your actions within the leadership, right? But then if you're doing that, certainly then you get a false view of God.
Right.
And you get this false view that you have to somehow, yes, I'm saved by grace. I understand that Jesus paid for my sins, but I've got to stay in good graces with him. Right. And that's probably the most dangerous of all doctrines in any presentation and any movement, because what happens is you end up picturing God as you know, stroking his white beard and just kind of like looking at you with he's angry at you. Yeah. The lightning bolts are above you, and if you misstep at any time, well, boy, you could get stricken with sickness, and these are the kinds of things they teach.
Right.
You know, the reason why you guys are sick is because you're not right with God.
Right.
So I think that is, and that's the doctrine of any cult or false religion, is just that. And so ironically, you have this movement that seems very appealing and very American and very blessed by God, and everything seems to be wholesome and clean cut and holy, and yet there's a totally false view of God's love and his nature.
Yeah, I like what you said there about how really boiling it down to, you know, what they say goes and what the man of God says goes. And because, like you say, really all those other dangerous / kooky doctrines fall into place after that. Because, you know, if the man of God says that 1611 is the only word of God, if the man of God says that you don't dance, you don't smoke, you don't chew, you don't go with girls who do, the Calvinists are of the devil, all of that, right? So if the man of God says XYZ is bad, then if you're brainwashed into thinking that he's got the, you know, 7 times anointing of the Lord, then you better listen to what he says, because if you don't, then, you know, maybe you're of the devil. Maybe you're not saved, right?
Absolutely. And I've seen countless times, and it's sad because I've seen grown adults time and time again go to the man of God to ask if they should go on a vacation, mm-hmm. if they should marry someone, or if they should buy a house somewhere different, or what, you know, every single thing. And so you get why it's such a powerful thing, because exactly what you just said, if the man of God says it, then he's got the anointing, and you should probably just keep in step with that. And not only that, you should probably aspire to earn that kind of anointing. And the way you're going to do that is by living this holy, clean cut, perfect life.
Right. Right. So what would you say then to, I mean, let's boil this down to, why is this important for people to be aware of? I mean, we obviously don't want to sit here and just talk about the IFB movement because we feel like bashing on it, and it sounds fun to do. I mean, there's right. a point and a purpose here in talking about this. And so why is it important for people to be aware of this? And what would you say to those who maybe are still, you know, caught in the IFB movement, or semi caught in it, or dabbling in it, or you know, what would your words of wisdom be in this?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is run for the hills. Yeah. But the reason is because the gospel is misunderstood in that movement greatly. Mm-hmm. It, even though the words are there that yes, it's by grace that you're saved by faith, right? They don't believe that, and they don't teach that beyond that mention. And so mm-hmm. what ends up happening is that you will not understand the gospel,
right?
If you're in that setting, because you're constantly hearing that you must perform and you must do certain things again to stay in that good grace. But that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
The Bible teaches that we are saved by grace and by faith alone, that we, that the debt that we owe could never be paid, that God's wrath is upon us because we're born into sin, and that debt can never be paid off. We can never go to church enough. We can never read the Bible enough. We can never wear enough ties. We can never do enough good things to earn that, that favor of God. It's already been paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ. And the gospel says that, that you are not good enough and you never will be. And so that is, that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And it's paid for by Jesus Christ. And so here's, but here's where the danger comes in, because they'll say all that same stuff. Mm-hmm. But the difference is, and why I would encourage anybody to get out of that sort of movement, is because there's no freedom in it. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, there's no love in it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to sit in a in an IFB church for very long to hear them the extreme, really it's hatred. Mm-hmm. And so you'll end up sticking around and kind of you'll get a heart of hatred, you'll get a heart of judgment towards others. You will get you won't be free. But yet all the scripture concerning salvation says that, that we will be free. We're free indeed in Christ, whom right. the Son sets free will be free indeed. Well, if I'm free indeed, why do I have to follow all these rules mm-hmm. in order to be in good grace? And so the scripture doesn't, it's pretty anti-scripture. That's, right. that's my main concern for right. anyone that's involved in that sort of setting. And I would just encourage them that, because, and here's the other thing, if you're in that movement and that environment, right. you know in your heart, mm-hmm. especially if you're God's child, you know in your heart that something's off.
Yeah.
And you're going through the motions and you're not free. And so why is that? Because everything in scripture says that we will have freedom and that we will have peace and that we cannot earn it, and that we're just jacked up sinners in need of a savior, and all those things that go along with what the scripture says do not line up with, as appealing and as accurate as it sounds, it's actually out of context and dangerous in that sense to anyone who's seeking to understand the word of God.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, you don't have to watch a Steven Anderson YouTube video for very long to realize that there certainly is an attack on freedom, the freedom and the liberties that we have in Christ. And obviously, you know, we are not speaking of freedom and liberty in the sense of it's okay to disobey the commands of Scripture. I mean, of course, obviously, you know, we want to be obedient to Scripture to fight against sin and fight against the flesh and whatnot. But where the IFB movement takes it is to an extreme, that a place where the gospel never goes, right? And so it's stuff that the gospel never speaks to, that we have liberty and freedom in to make choices on, right?
Right. We don't have to obey a man, right? I forget right. which scripture it is, but I think it was a letter of Paul, I believe, where he says there will be a time when we don't need to, we will not need a man to steer our hearts, or something along those lines. I can't remember the citation, but I think that's it. Everything has to do with the outward and not the inward, but yet scripture says the opposite. Mm-hmm. And as we understand the gospel and the great gift that it is, and that we could never measure up to God's standard ever, yeah. We in our hearts inwardly are so blown away by that, because we know how rotten we are, right? When we're saved by grace and our sins have been forgiven. Okay. Well, scripture teaches that it's a heart change.
Yeah.
And that is that's the opposite of what you'll hear at any church or movement like the IFB, is that it's time to get to work.
Right.
But scripture teaches that you will get to work from your heart.
Right.
When God does that work in your heart, you're going to do all those things out of your appreciation and your heart of reciprocation and, for that great free gift of salvation.
Yeah, your love for God exactly is going to move you to into action. Absolutely.
And that, as we know, is only a work of the Spirit. And so it's not something that could be conjured up by works or any other thing.
Yeah. Well, and I love how really you're going back to, and this is the key really for any cult-like movement, is the kryptonite is keep going back to the Word of God, right? Keep going back to the Scriptures. And really anybody that is listening to this who maybe is in the IFB or been in the IFB or still struggling through that, go back to the Scriptures. What is the, you know, quote unquote man of God teaching from the pulpit, and how does it line up with Scripture? Be Berean, like, go to the Scriptures and test the words of the preacher, right?
Absolutely. And I would also add to that, make sure that it's a good contextual rendering because there's no shortage of quote unquote teachers out there that are twisting or misrepresenting. And really, again, it's really all because of, they're just not educated.
You know, you keep saying that they're uneducated, but they all have the name doctor in front of their name.
That's fascinating,
right?
Isn't it?
They're doctors. So I don't know.
All the main players. Yes, absolutely. They are certainly doctors. Now, there's
Dr. Jack Hiles, right? I mean,
well, right. I mean, all those doctorates are ironically from unaccredited universities, but I don't want to split hairs. Yeah, exactly. And so, but that goes to the point, right? It's now, again, if there's a man of God, right, and all these things, and hey, look at, there's 10,000 people going to this particular church that started Hiles Anderson College. It was First Baptist Church of Hammond.
Yeah.
There's still thousands of people that go there every week.
Sure.
And so if you see that and you go, well, that's successful. And by the way, this guy, everybody up there says they're a doctor.
Right.
Man. So it's very misleading. So yes, I would say make sure that when you're Berean, like, that would include really just asking the Lord first to reveal to you what the truth is in his word. And then on top of that, as you go into study, making sure that it's a good reformed understanding of the Scripture as it's laid out in the confessions that from the church fathers that God has actually ordained from ages past and the timeless truth that is his word.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, one thing we didn't get to, and we'll talk a bit more about this, because something I mentioned in the last episode to our listeners was that, Lord willing, we will be having Brother Mike we will be having him as a more consistent co-host here on Full Armor Radio. It doesn't mean that he'll necessarily make every single episode, but as much as he is able to, this is a friendship that has really blossomed between the two of us, and we've really enjoyed. We're the type that could sit and talk for hours about, you know.
I'm sure that anyone listening to this has gathered that much by now.
For us to talk like quickly for like 15 minutes is just not a thing. So it seems fitting to have you on as a more consistent co-host. And we talked about that, and you expressed your interest in that. And so, Lord willing,
I look forward to tackling some of these topics, and really good exercise for me personally to think through a lot of these topics that you've mentioned and things that we're kind of thinking through as we go through these seasons and seeing things in the mainstream movements and just the age itself. So looking forward to discussing all of those things, and maybe we can even discuss some pop culture or something along the way. Who knows?
Indeed. Well, we'll have to, next time, we'll have to talk a little bit more about your journey into, your reforming journey, your reformed journey, because that was something that we didn't get much into was that how you've come all the way from, you know, the IFB movement all the way to now a more reformed understanding of the gospel. And so that's something we can even discuss a bit more, you know, going forward.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Mike. And, you know, I'm sure that over time we'll continue to have more discussions about this because, of course, there's so much here that we could talk about still on this subject, but time will not permit. I like to try to keep these episodes under an hour, but moving forward, there's a lot to talk about. Always a lot going on, as you say, you know, pop culture and what's happening in, what's happening in the world around us, but also various doctrines and confessions that we go through. Obviously, we've been going through the 1689 Baptist Confession here on the program. So there's a lot to look forward to here on the program. And if anybody would like to contact us here on the program, please send us an email, fullarmorradio@icloud.com. You can connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. And until next time, may God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. How sweet.